Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
New book from itdesign.com, The Exiled Messiah, available on Amazon. Links in description. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Matthew 12:39-41. And thus, it is said that the two Messiahs are already revealed on earth, Messiah ben Yosef and Messiah ben David. This is the statement of the Tanna from the house of Elijah. "The boy I revived is the Messiah ben Ephraim. I hinted to the world that I, Elijah, would come first, and afterward, he, Messiah ben Yosef, will come." This explains the sage's teaching that Jonah said to the Leviathan, "I will divide you among the righteous in the future." Why should this division occur by his hand and not another's? It is because Jonah is the boy whom Elijah revived, and he is Messiah ben Ephraim, who has already been revealed on earth. Similarly, Messiah ben David was revealed during the time of destruction of the Second Temple. As the sages say in the Midrash of Lamentations, that he was born during the destruction, and after a while, he was concealed. This is why it says, he was revealed on earth. Alshik HaKadosh, Shoshanat HaYamakim on Song of Songs 2 verse 10, Yeshua likens himself uniquely to the prophet Jonah, no sign except. And the Jewish sages say that Jonah is the Messiah son of Joseph, or Ephraim. Yeshua was the son of Joseph, and the gematria of Messiah son of Ephraim is exactly Yeshua of Nazareth, 741. Just as Jonah was revived from the dead by Elijah and miraculously survived 3 days in the belly of the fish, Yeshua was revived from the dead on the third day and ascended to heaven alive during the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. Rabbi Moshe David Vaye explicitly writes that Yeshua was worthy to be Mashiach ben Yosef and was certainly the secret of Mashiach ben Yosef. Sefer Likudim 1 hours 83 minutes, 242. What other connections do we see between Yeshu and Jonah, both being Mashiach ben Yosef of their generations? Messiah from Zebulun, Rabbi Jonan came and preached. Jonah ben Amittai was from the tribe of Zebulun. Jerusalem Talmud Sukkah 5:1:3, even though Yeshua was from the tribe of Yehuda, being a direct descendant of King David and born in Bethlehem, he came from and is named after a town in the tribal territory of Zebulun in the Galilee, Nazareth. This is in fulfillment of what the Holy Zohar said about the Messiah being revealed first in the same place where the 10 tribes were first exiled, which was precisely the territory of Zebulun. Matthew also quotes this prophecy. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman says, "The tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali were exiled first, as it is written, Isaiah 8 verse 23. The first one brought abasement to the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Ikah Rabbah, Petikta 100. And he explains, "For fear of Hashem is the trembling of the whole world, and for the glory of his majesty is Messiah, when he arises to shake the earth terribly." Refers to when Messiah will arise and be revealed in the land of Galilee, because this was the first place in the Holy Land that was destroyed by Ashur. Therefore, he will be revealed there before any other place, and from there he will stir wars all over the world. Holy Zohar, Shemit 100, rather than bringing peace to the world, the Holy Zohar says that the Messiah will stir wars all over the world from the Galilee. This is what Rabbi Moshe David Vaye quotes Yeshu as saying, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword." Matthew 10 verse 34. The gematria of "the sword of the Lord is full with blood" is exactly Yeshua 386. The sword of the Lord is full with blood, Isaiah 34 verse 6. Be aware that this sword refers to the Mashiach ben Yosef and his supernal roots, regarding which it states, "Who is this that comes from Edom?" Ibid. 63:1. Ramkel Mamar Hagula, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Matthew 2:23. Even though the prophets don't say that the Messiah will be from the town of Nazareth per se, there was a prophetic expectation that the Messiah would come from the Galilee, especially Zebulun, as Messiah son of Joseph like Jonah, and the Messiah is called a Netzer, branch, Isaiah 11 verse 1, the same root and letters as Nazareth, Nazareth. Gentile Messiah Jonah, as Messiah son of Joseph, was sent not only to save a Gentile nation, but to the largest empire and foe of the Israelite nation at that time, who would immediately cause the exile of the kingdom of Israel. Some of the sages mark the terrible irony that at the same time that Israel would not listen to the prophets that God sent to them prior to their exile, the Gentile empire of Assyria immediately repented at the prophecy of Jonah. From Jonah, we learn that the Messiah son of Joseph has a successful role, especially for the Gentiles, much like Joseph becoming ruler and savior of Egypt. In fact, Rabbi Eibeschutz wrote that the Messiah son of Joseph is only for the Gentiles. It seems that, as stated in the Zohar, Mashiach ben David, the Messiah from the house of David, will reign only over the Jewish people and will sit on the throne of Hashem. However, Mashiach ben Yosef will not rule over Israel at all, but rather over the nations of the world. Rabbi Yehonatan Eibeschutz, Ahavat Yehonatan, Haftorah of Vachanin 2 Tarsus Joppa, an amazing parallel between the stories of Yeshua and Jonah, is that Jonah went through Joppa on his way to Tarshish, before going to Nineveh, the capital of the enemy's empire. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Jonah 1:3, he said to the sailors, "We will embark with you." They replied to him, "Behold, we are going to the islands of the sea, to Tarshish." Asterisk Ibn Ezra on Jonah 1 verse 3 tells us on the authority of Saadiah that Tarshish is Tarsus. Perkei de Rabbi Eliezer 10:2 Perk de Rabbi Eliezer trans. And annotated by Rabbi Gerald Friedlander, London, 1916. Where do we see Joppa and Tarshish in the story of Yeshua? In the same chapter of Acts, Paul is associated with Tarshish and Peter, who is a sailor called the son of Jonah, is associated with Joppa. Both Peter and Paul carried the message of Yeshua from Israel to the capital city of their enemy's empire, like Nineveh, Rome, through the route of Joppa and Tarshish. This also happened prior to the exile of the Jewish people from their land, at the hands of the same Romans. According to Rashi and Yehuda Hihasid, Peter and Paul were righteous Jews who worked for the benefit of the Jewish people, on Avodah Zarah 10a. So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Yehuda for one called Shaul Paul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he, Peter, stayed many days in Joppa with Shimon, a tanner. Acts 9:11, 30, 42-43. Another amazing parallel we see is that Jonah's ship was almost capsized by a sea storm on his way to Nineveh. Likewise, Shaul's ship was almost capsized by a sea storm on his way to Rome, and this happened right after Yom Kippur, the traditional time that the book of Jonah is read in the synagogue. Now, when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast of Yom Kippur was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Acts 27:9-10. Jonah, YSHU, and Shaul. Where else do we see Shaul in the story of Jonah? Just like Yeshua and Shaul, Jonah was considered by his fellow Israelites to be a madman and a false prophet. 5. They would call him a false prophet. Perhaps this can be supported from that which is written, 2 Kings 9, about one of the sons of the prophets who anointed Yehu, who was Jonah ben Amittai, as Rashi and Radak explain. And this is from Seder Olam Rabbah, chapter 19. And it appears that this is derived from what is written there, chapter 6, "And the sons of the prophets said," and later, "And it was that one of them was felling the beam." And the author of Mir I Naim wrote in Bereshit Rabbah, chapter 21, in the name of O.T. Emmet, that it was Yonah. And it was written in Dan Yadin that this is so by Gematria, or one could say that the intention of the Midrash there was that the one referred to in Behold, the One. This is Yonah, is referring to the one here, i.e., 2 Kings 9, when he went to anoint Yehu. And in the Likudiyai commentary, it is explained that this hinted to Yonah, that he would fall into the water and then return and rise up from the water. And this is what is said there. He caused the beam to fall, and the iron fell into the water. For it should have said, and the iron fell into the water, but instead it says the iron fell. In order to hint by the word fell into the water, that the one who made the beam fall, namely Yonah, he himself later fell into the water. And this was the hint now in the matter of the iron. And perhaps at that very moment, an accusation category arose against him, and he himself ought to have fallen at that time, and instead the iron fell in his place. Or perhaps, in truth, all of them, the wood, the iron, and Yonah, fell into the water, only that Yonah rose up, and the wood floated on the water, as is its natural tendency, and the iron sank. And it is written there, 2 Kings 9 verse 11, that Yehu was asked, "Why did this madman come to you?" And he said, "You know the man and his talk." That is to say that there is nothing of substance to his words, that he prophesied, but his words did not stand, and behold, he is a false prophet. And one can also say concerning what is written afterward. And they said, "Falsehood, tell us now," that the phrase "and they said, falsehood," is separated by a cantillation pause from "tell us now," and it should be interpreted as a response to "you know the man and his talk," that they replied, "We know that he is a man of falsehood, but nevertheless, tell us now." And corresponding to this, that they would call him a false prophet, perhaps this is why Scripture called him by the name of his father, Ben Amittai, son of truth, and placed next to it the title the prophet, in order to derive that he was a true prophet. And see above in Parashat Lech Lecha what I wrote, with the help of heaven, as another hint to this. Rabbi David Luria, Ber Haredel on Perkei deRabbi Eliezer 10:5, and each and every klippa shell, has its own unique name, as is arranged in the book Kita Yeshua, composed by the same author as this work, as he writes below, as I have explained his allusion. And he wrote there that the third klippa of Cain is called Orav, raven, and it is known that Hevel Abel, the murdered one, who damaged Imma Illa, the supernal mother, as known from the Zohar, brought the klippa of the raven into the world. And with this, he has a connection with his brother Cain the murderer. And this is the secret of the 278 klippot that were brought into the world, which the Kabbalists wrote about, and which the author of Sodai Razin brings there. And it is in the secret of Kenedi Ish Etyhvh, "I have acquired a man with the Lord. And the one who understands will comprehend and be silent. And I hereby warn you, beware, lest you think these matters are to be taken literally, heaven forbid." And thus, this is what the author wrote. Death, in the secret of the third klippa from the murderer, in the grasp of the primordial murderer, meaning, the third klippa, called Orav, raven, whose gematria is 278, as I explained. And the murderer is Cain. And this is sufficient, as I explained. Section. In the grasp of the prophet the son of Amittai, in his nullification of the known, etc. Its meaning and intended content is this. It is known from the words of the Kabbalists that the prophet Yonah ben Amittai, Jonah son of Amittai, is the one who nullifies the klippa of Cain, who is the man hinted at in the verse, and one who pronounces the name YHVH, and that this is the klippa of the raven, which is the secret written by the Kabbalists, and brought in the book O.T. Emmet, which writes concerning the verse. And one of them cast the lot, that this was the son of Amittai, as it is taught in the Midrash on the verse, "Behold, the man has become like one of us," that Yonah ben Amittai is also written about, and one cast the lot, etc. Behold, know that the beam, Hakorah, equals the Gematria 316. And the secret of Yonah is in the mystery of the breaking of holy sparks, Gematria Guardium, i.e., scaffold, in which he threw down the beam, the secret of the klippa of the man, Jesus, the klippa of the raven. And in this there are secrets of secrets, inner concealments of concealments, and I am not permitted to expand further because of mortal danger. And this is what the holy author wrote. In the grasp of the prophet the son of Amittai, in his nullification of the known, which is the secret of Guardium, gallows, and also the secret of the Etz, tree/wood, which is the roof beam, Tekra, etc., in the mystery of their matching number. And it is explained as I explained, that the gematria of the man, and the beam, is equal also to Jesus. And roof is the same as the beam. And why didn't he state the beam clearly and instead use the term roof? There is in this a great secret, a supernal mystery. Tekra equals Shita, 705. In the secret of he placed all beneath his feet. And its secret will be explained elsewhere. Understand this. Rabbi Shimshon Ostropoli, Danyadin on Sefer Karnaim, Mamer 3p. 16. In this incredibly Kabbalistic work, Rabbi Shimshon Ostropoli says that Yonah, which means dove, as Messiah son of Joseph nullifies death, including through his resurrection, which is symbolized by the raven, the symbolic opposite of the dove, and also the cross. This is why the Bible says that Jonah was chopping down a tree when his axe fell into the water with himself and the tree. Note that he falls when he tries to destroy the symbol of the cross and Yeshu. Jonah falling into the water foreshadows when he was cast into the sea. Rabbi Shimshon says that the tree beam has the same gematria of Yeshu, Jesus, 316. Jonah and Jesus don't sink completely, but the iron axe does. The reason Jonah gives for wanting to retrieve the iron axe which fell is that it was borrowed, asked for. But the Hebrew can be read instead as, he the axe is Shaul. We already highlighted connections between Shaul and Jonah, but perhaps this is also a reference to King Shaul, who was Messiah son of Joseph in his time preparing the way for the kingship of David. It seems obvious that the Apostle Shaul, also from the tribe of Benjamin, is a reincarnation and rectification of King Shaul. Whereas King Shaul persecuted King David out of jealousy for his anointing, the Apostle Shaul himself became persecuted for heralding the messiahship of King David's descendant, Yeshua. Jonah, the wood Yeshu, and the iron Shaul, falling into the water would all symbolize the fall, death, and resurrection of the Messiah son of Joseph. The iron can also symbolize the nails with which the Messiah son of Joseph was nailed to the wooden cross. Elisha is compared to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Perakiah, who pushed away Yeshu with both hands. The rectification is to draw Yeshu back with both hands. This is the symbolism of Elisha raising the iron, Messiah son of Joseph, out of the water, which the sages also compare to Moses raising the bones of Joseph out of the Egyptian water and bringing them back to Israel, a precondition for Joseph's forgiveness of them selling him to the Gentiles, just as Yeshu was sold. Rabbi Moshe Haim Lozado says that the iron axe is a reference to the destruction of the temple which occurs because of the Messiah, as the Jerusalem Talmud quotes, and he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and the Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one, the Messiah. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a twig, Netzer, shall grow forth out of his roots. What else does falling into the water represent? Truly many of the most important of these matters are contained in the prophecy of Isaiah ch. 53 in the verse, actually 52, 13 trans. Behold, my servant shall prosper. And also in the prayer of Jonah when he is in the sea, which is the selfsame matter as the Messiah in the midst of the husks, Kelepos. Ramkel, Kainat Hashem Tzivakot, MSFO. 240 are the Messiah son of Joseph falling into water and being swallowed by Leviathan, represents him falling into the Kelepot, which are the external forces of evil. This means that the Messiah son of Joseph is hidden within these forces and appears to be identified with them. Rabbi Moshe David Valle said that this is exactly what happened to Yeshu, Likudim 1:83-84. Raising the Messiah son of Joseph out of the water is also taking him out of the Kelepot. The weeds were wrapped about my head, Jonah 2 verse 6. The sages say that this referred specifically to the Leviathan's head, but since Jonah was inside of it, this is applied to him. The word for wrapped is the same in Hebrew as bound, or imprisoned, and this has the gematria of Yeshu, Jesus, 316. But we had mercy on him, the Messiah, when he was bound, equals Yeshu equals 316, in the prison house every day. Yalkut Shimoni, Nach 499. The wrapping of plant material around Jonah's head is certainly reminiscent of the wrapping of thorns around Yeshu's head on the cross. In the Talmud, thorns represent idolatry, such as that of Haman, who was also hung on a tree. Messiah son of Joseph being imprisoned within the Kelepa also means that he is associated with idolatry. Instead of the thorn, this means instead of the wicked Haman. He is referred to as a thorn because he turned himself into an object of idol worship, as he decreed that all must prostrate themselves before him. The Gemara cites proof that the term thorn is used in connection with idol worship, as it is written, "And upon all thorns and upon all brambles," Isaiah 7 verse 19, which is understood to be a reference to idol worship. Talmud Bavliya, Megillah 10b, 20. However, in Kabbalah, there is something called the thorn of the Yud, which is the part of the letter of God's name that represents the highest sapphira, keter, which means crown. The crown of thorns represents this, and the fifth soul level of the Yekidah. The holiday of Yom Kippur, with five prayers, also represents this soul level, and this is the same day that we read the book of Jonah. The gematria of Kippur, atonement, is also Yeshu, Jesus, 316. The Yekidah is the highest level, associated specifically with Messiah, son of Joseph, which is why it is most easily mistaken for God himself and turned into idolatry, or El. You need to know that the Mashiach is the Yekidah, as you have heard on previous occasions, and since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Holy Temple, it is said about him. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, Isaiah 53 verse 5. Ramkel, Mamer HaGula, there were also crowns of thorns in relationship to Joseph's rule over the nations. The threshing floor of Atad, it was so called because it was surrounded by a hedge of thorns, not because thorns were threshed there. Our rabbis explained that it was so called in consequence of an incident that occurred there, that all the kings of Canaan and the princes of Ishmael came to wage war against them. But as soon as they saw Joseph's crown hanging over Jacob's coffin, they all rose and hung their crowns on it, and thus wreathed it with crowns like a threshing floor, that is surrounded with a hedge of thorns, Sota 13a. Rashi on Genesis 50:10:1, Messiah, as dove is mentioned, the name, Jonah, means dove. The first time that the word, dove, appears in the Bible is in the story of Noah and the flood. Just like the Holy One, blessed be He, sent out the dove, as Noah is of the aspect of Yesed, but she did not find a place to rest, as it is written, but the dove found no rest, Bereshit 8:9, so did He send for you, faithful shepherd first. It is written of them, and he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, Shemit 2:12, which means he saw they were all guilty, and there was no man among them who had the merit to get out of exile. For that reason, you refused to go there but said, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom you will send, Shemit 4:13. Yet now you are like at that time of the Exodus from Egypt. In you it shall be fulfilled together with Israel. As in the days of your coming out of the land of Egypt, I will show him marvelous things. Micah 7:15. During the last exile he will send with you two messiahs, Messiah, son of Joseph, and Messiah, son of David, who correspond to the two wings of the dove, who is the Shechinah, because you are in the fourth exile like a body without wings. Moreover, at first Israel was like a body, and you and Aaron like the two wings of the dove, with which Israel flew out of exile. Holy Zohar, Ki Tetza, 8:55-56, the first dove that Noah sent out and came back with nothing, that is Jesus. He came into the world and tried, but did not get the job done at that time. The second dove that brings back olive branch, that is the Messiah who gets the job done. Rabbi Moshe David Valle, I set Giorni della Verita, circa 1722 CE Ramdav, says that the first dove was Yeshu, who the Holy Zohar says is the Messiah, the faithful shepherd who joins the two messiahs together like his two wings in the final redemption. Even though he seems to say that there are two doves, the scripture makes it clear that there are actually two comings of the same dove. Dove and angel, there is a similarity to the language of the story of Noah's dove and the story of the angel that appeared to Samson's mother. In the story, it says that the angel appeared to Samson's mother the first time, but not also to his father Manoach until the second time. Likewise, the first time that Noah sent the dove, it did not find Manoach, a resting place, but it flew over the waters which covered the earth. This is similar to what we are told about the Spirit of the Lord hovering, like a bird over the waters in creation. The sages say that this was the Spirit of the Messiah. Now we can understand why the Spirit of the Lord descended upon Yeshua in the form of a dove, Jonah. The second time that the dove was sent, the Hebrew uses the word Yosef, Joseph. It says that the dove brought back an olive leaf that was torn. The sages say that this same expression is used about Joseph being torn, Genesis 37 verse 33. The word Messiah means anointed, specifically with olive oil. If the dove also represents the Spirit of the Messiah, then this time that the dove was sent, it was as the Messiah son of Joseph, who the sages said would be killed. We already established that Yonah, dove, was Messiah son of Joseph in his generation. The Or HaHaim HaKadosh wrote that the one bird out of two which is killed in the leper's purification ritual, symbolizes the Messiah, son of Joseph. The second time that the angel of the Lord appears to Manoach's wife, it says that he ascended in the flame of the altar, sacrifice of the kid goat. If we say that this appearance corresponds to Messiah, son of Joseph, then this symbolizes his sacrificial death and consequent ascension to heaven. The Holy Zohar says that the Messiah ascended alive to a place in heaven called the bird's nest. Not only did Yeshua ascend from the Mount of Olives, but likely he was crucified and buried there as well. The sages say that the olive leaf came from the Mount of Olives, but the flood did not actually touch the Holy Land of Israel. If so, then how did Noah know that this was a sign that the flood waters had subsided? Perhaps Noah understood this symbolism of the sacrificial atonement of the righteous Messiah as a sign for the subsiding waters of judgment. In the story, this angel is also called both a man and God Elohim. This parallels what Yeshu has been called. Not only that, but the angel is called Ha'ish, the man, which is the gematria of Yeshu, 316. After the angel ascended, it says that the Spirit of the Lord moved in Samson. Likewise, after the ascension of Yeshua, the Spirit of the Lord was given on Shavuot, Pentecost. When Noah sends the dove out the last time, it says that the dove did not continue anymore to return. The same Hebrew phrase is used about the angel after he ascends from Samson's parents. This phrase, Lo Yosef, can also be read as, not Joseph. This means that in the angel and dove's previous coming, it was as Messiah son of Joseph, but in the final coming, it is not as Messiah son of Joseph only, implying rather that it is as Messiah son of David, or both together. So when on the Hebrew calendar was the dove's final coming? The sages say that this was on Rosh Hashanah, Genesis 8 verse 13. Amazingly, this is the most likely time given for the final coming of Yeshua. The New Testament says that Yeshua will descend with the blowing of the shofar, and that no one knows the day or the hour. Of all the biblical festivals, this can only be said about Rosh Hashanah, which is the only occurring on the new moon. No one knows the day or the hour of the new moon until the moon is sighted by witnesses and the new month is declared by the Sanhedrin. This is why, on the fixed Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah is kept for 2 days, even in the land of Israel. The Talmud says that the Messiah will come today. Today is also a reference to Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the new year, which represents every day of the year. Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day, and it is written that the Messiah will judge the world in his coming. The spring's feasts, which correspond to the harvest of the grasses, barley and wheat, which spring and are cut from the earth below, being killed in the process, correspond to the Messiah's birth, death, and ascension as Messiah son of Joseph. Whereas the fall feasts, which corresponds to the harvest of fruits which fall from trees above, figs, grapes, olives, pomegranates, and dates, and the prayer for rain, also corresponds to the Messiah son of David's descent with the clouds. And the children of Zion, cry out and rejoice in the word of the Lord your God, for he has returned to you your benefactor in righteousness, equals Yeshu of Nazareth, equals 671. And he causes the early rain to come down for you in its time, and the late rain in the month of Nisan. Targum Jonathan on Joel 2 verse 23 to be continued.